It's great to see you. Thank you very much for being here today. I do appreciate Justin and his challenge to all of us about being back here tonight. We are in the middle of something that the devil doesn't want to happen, because I am very confident that this series of lessons that will take place between tonight and Wednesday night will be something that will give a family, it will give an individual, it will give a neighborhood, it will give a lot of people some practical information that will help very much in the world that we live in today. I won't get into my lesson tonight because we have the lesson this morning, but I am privileged and honored to be able to open up the lectureship tonight. Do not let that keep you away, but I am looking forward to tonight's lesson as well as I am looking forward to today's. But what we're talking about is a lot of what Justin mentioned to us earlier. The Johnson family that is over in Robertsdale right now, they're broken. They're broken today because of a devastation in their family. Devastation is no respecter of persons. Brokenness is no respecter of persons. Everybody that I know will either have been broken or are currently broken. God doesn't want us to stay broken. So come back, be a part of this spiritual enrichment, because that's what's going to happen. We're going to be enriched, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for being at Azalea City today. I am glad that some of you are over the flu. I am glad that those of you who have been hurting in other ways are able to be here. I'm thankful for our visitors. I'm thankful for those who've traveled and have made it back safely. Today, I'm not going to talk about being broken, but I'm going to tie something in that will go hand in hand with that, and that's the need for more strength. You see, God wants us to be a people of strength. God wants us to be a people that are not cowarding down. I had a great privilege of teaching the JYG this morning, and Mamas and Daddies, thank you very much for bringing them. We had a great group of young men and young ladies in there, and we talked about how can we gain strength by not bowing down, not giving in. Nebuchadnezzar built a 90-foot-tall idol, and he played the music, and he said, "Bow down." But three of them didn't. And I asked the question why, and some of them said they had courage. Today, I want us to talk about not bowing down. I want us to talk about strength. I want us to talk about courage. I want us to talk about what it takes to be strong in a world that's around us is very weak. Turn to where Gabriel read to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Let's look at verses 8 and 9 together. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. I want you to know, my friends, that if there's a section of Scripture in the Bible that we need to have in our hearts, it's probably that one. You know, as I was studying for this lesson, that section of verses, that passage of Scripture came back to me as I was studying and I was looking. And I remembered how powerful that is right there. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, they were facing persecution. They were facing all kinds of things the devil was throwing their way. There was all kinds of temptations he was throwing on them, all those fiery darts he was shooting their way. And Paul made the statement that, hey, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have them on every side of us. We're going to be knocked down. But here's a couple things we need to remember. Number one, God's never going to abandon us. And number two, we've got to get back up. You know, in order to do that, first of all, if we can make that comment, hey, I know God's not going to abandon me. God's not going to give up on me. God's not going to lose faith in me. If I can make that comment, you know what I'm going to gain from it? I'm going to gain strength. I'm going to gain the ability to stand when the world wants me to fall, when the devil wants me to fall. We need to have the mindset that no matter what happens to me, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get up. Turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk chapter 3 is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture throughout the Bible. I've preached on it. I've talked about it. And, you know, it's one of those that you find when you're studying these minor prophets, thinking you're not going to find a whole lot in these minor prophets, but then you come across Habakkuk chapter 3. Today's lesson is going to stem from this section of Scripture. This is going to be a good old textual Bible study today, with the conclusion being that through it, we're going to gain the strength we need to be able to fight and press on. Listen to what Habakkuk says here, beginning in verse 17. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop may fail, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to walk upon the heights or the high hills. When you hear that section of Scripture, maybe that's you today. Maybe that's you in your life today. In your life, maybe you're facing a time when the olive trees are not producing fruit. Maybe you're facing a time when the crops have all died. Maybe you're facing a time when there are no herd in the stalls. And all around you, you have been knocked down. The devil is so good, unfortunately, at what he does. He is able to take and mess us up. He is able to take and flip our lives upside down around us. He's able to take and throw temptations our way, troubles our way, trials our way. And what do from time and time again? We get distracted. We look away. We look and we focus on the herds being dead. We focus on the crops being dead. We focus on the olive trees being dead. And instead of getting up and fighting, we stay in a shell on the ground, defeated by the world. Well, how can we gain strength to get up? How can we make the comment that Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 3? I'm not changing. So if you'll change the slide for me. How can we make this comment that you're about to see on the screen? The Lord is my strength. How can I leave here today saying what Paul said, saying what Habakkuk said? Hey, no matter what the devil throws at me, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get up. I'm going to have strength. I'm going to fight the fight that is before me. Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to understand that this right here is strength, right? In this book, we gain strength. This book is filled with men and women who have struggled, men and women who have given in, men and women who have taken their eyes off the prize, who have sank, who have gotten back up again, and even those who have failed. Everything in this book, there is an answer to everything we struggle with today. There is an answer to every problem we face. There is an answer to every disease or the disease that we struggle with, and that is sin. But here's where people go wrong. When I lay the Bible down right there, you know what it is? Well, yeah, it's the Bible. I understand that, but it's a book. When I leave this book right here, it's a book. When I take and I just throw it in my back seat, it's a book. Now I got it under this chair. When I take and I just leave it on the front pew, it's a book. When I throw it in my room, when I throw it on the counter, all it is a book. But when I pick it up and I open it up and I read it and I study and I get stronger and stronger, it transformed from a book to a sword. Today, I'm afraid what's happened is we've put the book down. We've put the sword down. And instead of being warriors, we're weak. We're not able to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said it this way, "And take the helmet of salvation," verse 17, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The strength we gain from God comes from the promise that He made in our swords. We can't put them down. We can't leave them laying. We must pick up the Word and we must gain strength. Too many times the Word of God is put down and treated like a book. But let me tell you, with this book, with this sword, we become swordsmen. We become fighters. We become warriors. We become mighty. We become strong. I want you to know what's going on in the life of Habakkuk as they write these words. Let me tell you what he means by no olive trees producing olives, no crops producing crops, no herd being in the stalls. Let me explain to you what he means by that. You want to talk about bad days? Let me tell you about their bad days. The Babylonians attacked Judah in the years around 605 to 597 BC. Now, who are the Babylonians? King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? His people, his army. Remember how mighty they were. Remember the soldiers they had, the chariots they had. Remember how dominating the Babylonian Empire was. They attack around 605 BC. Habakkuk is written in 605 BC. The Babylonians conquer Judah. That means they totally conquer them in 586 BC. Well, let me tell you who's the king of Judah. So even before this, you understand that Habakkuk's written in a time when they're taken captive. But even before that, you might think, well, who was the king of Judah? Why did they get in this situation? If you knew that the king of Judah in 605 BC was King Jehoiakim, you win the prize for today. If you didn't, you just learned it, okay? King Jehoiakim is the king of Judah during this time. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 23, please. I told you it's going to be a good old textual Bible study today. 2 Kings chapter 23, look at verse 36. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he, King Jehoiakim, did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. Before this time, there wasn't a lot of God coming from their government. You see, God's name wasn't glorified under the reign of King Jehoiakim. Because King Jehoiakim was such an evil king, God said, enough is enough. It's the same mindset God had when He told Noah, enough is enough. It's the same mindset He had when He allowed the Persians to take over, when He allowed the Greeks to take over, when He allowed the Romans to take over. God was not doing it to punish. He was doing it to weed out the sin and the evil and the corruption. And there's going to come a time when God says, enough is enough, and that will be the final enough there is. And He will send the King of Kings to wipe the world of all the corruption. The question today is, will we have the strength we need? You see, around us is a world where there are a lot of laws that allow sin. There are a lot of things that make things appealing and make things good and make things beautiful. Money buys a lot of it. It buys a lot of entertainment. It buys a lot of advertisement. It buys a lot of marketing. And it points out a world that's caving in around us, it feels at times, that says, hey, all this stuff is good. The music's playing. Will we bow down? Don't stop in chapter 23. Go on to chapter 24 now. Look at verse 1. During Jehoiakim's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon invaded the land of Judah. Jehoiakim surrendered and paid him tribute for 3 years, but then rebelled. Now I asked you at the beginning of this section of Scripture, what was going on in the life of times of Habakkuk? An evil king taken over by an evil dictator. So when Habakkuk says there are no herd in the stalls, there are no crops in the field, there are no olives on the olive tree, I want you to know that Judah was in a dark and gloomy spot. They were in a time when they needed to hear some good news. So you know what Habakkuk said? He said, I yet will still rejoice. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, able to walk upon His high hills. So I want to ask us today, what can we do to gain that strength? We've already talked about the Bible. We've already talked about the Word of God. But I want you to understand that oftentimes the predicaments that we're in are self-inflicted. The troubles we get into a lot are because of decisions we make. You know, when a person is walking too close to the edge of the water, you know what the chances are? They will slip and fall. We have a pool at our house. It was in the ground when we bought the pool. It was just part of the deal. I mean, when we bought the house. But there's a little walkway where I became pool boy when I got the pool, right? There is a return right here, and there's a return over there. To clean out that basket and to put some more chlorine tablets in there, I just usually walk along the walkway. Every time I think, one day you're going to slip and fall in that pool. I haven't yet. But the closer we get to the edge, the more likely we are to fall. And what happens in times of trouble is we get as close to the edge as we can. We try to walk that line as close as we can. Trouble? Yeah, it's okay. I'm strong. I went to church today. I worshiped today. I prayed today. And so I'm going to get as close to the edge as possible. But oftentimes when we get that close, we fall. We get ourselves into a predicament. We get ourselves feet first, lives first, in a pool of sin. We get down from time to time. We're attacked on all sides. We're on the canvas. We're struggling. We've been knocked to the mat. But here's what I want you to know today. Some of you probably walked in that situation. But like Judah, there is still hope. No matter what you face, no matter what I face, no matter what I've done, whether I'm on the ground, whether I'm knocked out, whether I'm lifelong full of sin, headlong in sin, life in sin, there's still a way out. There's still hope today. But what we need to do is pick up our swords. We need to use them. They can't be a book. We need to gain strength. Look at 2 Kings 24 again, verses 2 through 4. Listen to the bad that's going on around them. The Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites, bands of the people of Ammon. He sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken by his servants the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord this came upon Judah, to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh. Now let's talk about Manasseh for a moment. According to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. God sent the Babylonians not to destroy, but to cleanse. Cleanse from people like Manasseh, who God had had enough of that. Cleanse from people like Jehoiakim, who God had had enough of that. There are other bad kings and there are other men and women who had gone before them that had led a life of sin. By the way, who was Judah? God's chosen people. And they had gone astray. So how can a lesson from Habakkuk 3 become applicable to us? Because even in the dark times, there's still hope. There's strength even through the struggle. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. How does all this tie together? Well, I'm glad you asked. I told you it was going to be a lot of textual today. In Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, listen to this. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. We already talked about that. We already established that. That during this time of Habakkuk, again, Habakkuk writing, saying there's a lot of bad things going on, but I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to find joy in my salvation. I'm going to find strength in the Lord. Okay? Well, here in Daniel 1, the same time frame now, look at the rest of it. The Lord gave him victory, this is Nebuchadnezzar, over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years. They would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed these men with Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. What happens in a time where there are no herd in the stalls, there are no crops in the field, and there's no olives on the olive tree? God raised up Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, not all was lost. Not all was hopeless. Sometimes, when the trouble surrounds us and the trial surrounds us and the bad days come, and I, like Paul, am perplexed and there's trouble all around and we've been knocked down, we've got to remember there's still hope. we gain strength from people like Daniel, people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How do we gain strength from them? Because then we look in the Scriptures and we see that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful man, wanted them to eat food that was against their religion, against their conscience, against their being able to be allowed to do it. There was a drink wine from his table, but they stand up and they say, "Please no, let us drink water and eat vegetables." And God raised them up. Nebuchadnezzar builds a 90-foot tall statue. And he tells them all to bow down, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not. When he turns the fiery furnace up 7 times hotter and threatens them with that, he says, "Let me tell you something, King. Our God, He's capable of saving us, and He will save us. But let it be known to you, O King, that even if He does not, we still will not bow down." Daniel, now under Persian reign, under another dictator, if you will, he's praying as God wants him to pray in Daniel 6. And some people talk about him and tell on him. And they get King Darius, all riled up. And they say, "Hey, you need to make a law." And they make this law, knowing Daniel is going to break it because of his character. But when King Darius then sees that Daniel is one who is going to break this law, his heart is broken because he knows he's got to go into the lion's den. He loves Daniel. Daniel's risen up. But Daniel gained strength. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they gained strength. And when it came time for the lions, Daniel had this attitude: "They'll either crush me and I'll go to heaven, or God will shut their mouths." He didn't have any fear, because he had strength. Today, you may feel like all hope is gone. You may feel like there's no good news in your life whatsoever. Today, I want to remind us all that there is hope. And hope is named Jesus Christ. Today, you may have put your sword down, but you can pick it back up. Today, you can get up off the mat. Today, yeah, the music's still going to be playing, but God will give us the strength to not bow down. Hey, there's still a roaring lion out there. And just like those lions in that den, he is waiting to devour us. But through the strength of God, he shut his big mouth too. Today, I want you to leave here strong. I want you to leave here shouting, "The Lord is my strength." But you see, that can't happen if we stay in the shadows. It can't happen if we decide to not step out of the boat. Today, if you have not decided to follow Jesus Christ, I urge you, gain that strength today by being immersed in water for the remission of all your sins. Maybe you are here and you've done that. And you thought, "Hey, as long as I'm in Christ, everything's going to be great." But along the way, you drifted away. You drifted out of the light. And the world has started to cave in. And evil has surrounded you. Just like Peter, when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. But Jesus Christ, our strength, has reached out his hand. Today, all we have to do is take it again. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.